Please take your Bibles and turn with me once again to the book of Daniel, chapter 10, and then just remain there for a few moments. Daniel chapter 10. Okay. But before I do that, I would like to read something as a matter of record for those who might click on to this particular sermon during our series here in Daniel. And it has to do with the translation issue that I found very, very telling. Once a month, I receive the Battle Cry newsletter from David Daniel's ministry, Chick Publications. And as you know, that Brother Daniel is a staunch defender of the King James translation of the Scriptures, who at one time was not a defender, but one that was in certain circles that would openly denounce that version and would give more praise and more honor to the modern translations that were coming off of the publisher's press. Let me read to you something, and I find this amazing. In 2012, Michael Gove, then England's Secretary of State for Education, announced a plan to send a King James Bible to every state school in England. The initiative met with mixed reactions. Some praised it, calling the King James Bible, quote, a national treasure, unquote. Quote, an important part of Western culture heritage, unquote. And, quote, the single most influential literary work in the English language, unquote. Others were less than pleased. The National Secular Society claimed that schools were already awash with Bibles and that students would be better off with copies of Darwin's, quote, On the Origin of Species. Andrew Z. Williams, writing for the New Statesman, questioned the value of the Bible. Now watch this. Here's a man questioning the value of the Bible in and of itself. He concluded this article titled, quote, The Trouble with the King James Bible, unquote, with the statement that the donated Bibles would, quote, should come with a slap in the face to those who think that it could possibly be the inspired and accurately recorded word of a loving God, unquote. But what evidence did he cite for such a conclusion? Why would this man say that when these Bibles would be placed in all of these schools in Great Britain, would come with a slap? First, he attacked Mark 16:9-20, the so-called longer ending of Mark, as inauthentic. Then, citing antagonistic New Testament scholar and textual critic Bart D. Erdman, who is now an apostate, he went after 1 John 5:7 through 8, crucial verses supporting the biblical doctrine of the Godhead, that is, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit as one. I find that amazing. The same passages that so-called conservative evangelical pastors, elders, and bishops, whatever title you want to slap on them, conservative evangelical megachurch pastors, bring up the same issue with at least the two verses or the two passages here cited as not being the Word of God. This man brings this to the table to say that if you put these Bibles in these schools, it will become a slap. A slap. To those who would even take them up and read. These arguments have been aptly answered in articles and books elsewhere. See Answers to Your Bible Version Question by David W. Daniels, available from Chick Publications. But what is most striking about Williams' article is his question for believers, posed shortly after supposedly demolishing the text of the King James using the above arguments. Williams quotes the following, quote, Quite frankly, when you read the King James Bible, you have no no way of knowing whether any particular line would be in the original manuscripts. This poses an interesting question for those who believe that all scripture is God-breathed. If God was not going to preserve the original manuscripts, why would he have bothered to inspire them? Whoa! Here's a man that's not a believer. And he hits the nail on the head that we hear being given to us by those who bash the King James and those who hold to the King James exclusively as their reading Bible, study Bible, and the Bible from which they preach. Notice his words reflect the same response by so-called conservative evangelical pastors, elders, and bishops. Those who make their living preaching God's word, and at the same time, through their footnotes that they put into their study Bibles, they bring doubt or cast doubt and a disparaging view of the scriptures. This question demonstrates an important reason why we ought to cling to our belief in God's preserved word. Williams questions its legitimate and one that is dismissed far too easily by Christians with opposing views, but it does not come from a place of faith. He obviously does not believe Jesus' guarantee in Matthew 24:35, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What does that mean, conservative, evangelical, megachurch pastors, bishops, and elders? What does that mean to you? Was Jesus just simply filling ink on a piece of parchment, or is that a promise given to us by Christ himself? The Bible itself is the foundation of our faith. When atheists or agnostics want to attack our faith in God, the legitimacy of the Bible as the very words of God is the first battle they choose. And conservative evangelical pastors, elders, and bishops fall right into suit and fall into the trap of aligning themselves with the atheist and the agnostic and the liberal theologian when they say that God preserved the originals, but since we have no originals, we're in hopeless quandary of trying to dig up and rediscover what the original said, whereby they simply dismiss God's promise to preserve his words. As Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You can make that foundation sure in your own heart by reading and believing God's preserved word in English, the King James Bible. You can also take advantage of many resources that Chick Publication offers on the topic. You can visit www.chick.com or call 909-987-0771 for a free catalog. I find that amazing. That an atheist or an agnostic runs to the same verses that so-called Bible-believing preachers claim is not the Word of God. They are shooting themselves in their own foot. And apparently they really don't care. Well, may God have mercy upon us.